Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where we get to join you live every single morning at 7 a.m. Eastern. Jeff Gargis is in the house. We have a listener question ahead, and we are going to ask you about your favorite thing. So stick with us. Hey everyone, good morning. We are here to welcome you into the day and also get into some good conversation. Jeffrey Raymond is in the house. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning.
Morning.
How's everyone doing this morning?
I think pretty good.
This is a weird week because I've been on most of the shows this week.
Are you complaining?
But I'm not like yeah, a little bit, maybe a little bit. I don't know. No, I'm not complaining. It's okay. Like, I had to hang out with you a little more than planned, but
I've been on most of the shows this week too.
Yeah, but you and Katie are like the default host. I'm like a fill-in when someone's not available.
How does that make me feel that I'm not like anything except for the default host? Like, that's
because well, we put the two best on, and then when one of them can't be there, we fill in with other people. You're like the starter. I'm coming off the bench.
I know. I was looking.
They like pulled me out of the locker room. It was like, we're out of everything. So like, just come in whatever you've got dressed. Like, then you don't have to put your uniform on at this point.
That's fair. Well, I'm glad you're here. I don't know. I mean, I miss
it's been
Katie,
fun.
But.
It's been fun.
Yeah, it'll be good. I will say, Jeff, the beginning of our conversation here is something that I think is a really good reminder and a need for all of us.
Okay.
And that is, I want to figure out the all-time best pick-me-up.
All-time best pick-me-up.
Not pick-me-up like dating. Not pick-up line.
Not pick-up line.
That's not what we're saying. Although if you want to put your favorite pick-up line in the chat, that would be entertaining. I mean, like, you're dragging, or you're tired, or you have had a stressful day. What's your
okay? So like mental pick me, not like a I'm tired pick me up, but like a mental pick me up. Because like it's not like coffee versus Red Bull or whatever, but like what's the thing that like gets you out of a funk almost?
Yeah, I'm not dismissing going and getting a coffee or going and
no, that might be the answer, but like
yeah, but it's like you are tired, or you've like you're stressed, or you're not in the right headspace.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to boost your mood? And I think that this is a good little reminder as we're kind of wrapping up the week, getting into, I don't know, changing the lives of, you know, the American youth.
I don't know that I know what it is.
What, you don't have like a go-to pick me up?
I don't know that I have I'm trying to think, like, what do I do when I'm feeling.
What do I do when I'm feeling blue?
I want to say it's probably a couple potential podcasts that are usually pretty motivating or get me going, or potentially there's probably a couple shows I can think of that would be like that at least like break my cycle of potential like negativity or being down or whatever that might get me out of it, or if I'm in like a really rough spot. Xbox. Like I used to game a lot. I don't game nearly as much. So like when I get to like it's a big like I forget everything and I'm like I'm 23 again. Like, you know what I mean? I should be like junk food next to me, but like so I think that's like the break glass.
I like that one. That's
but easy good. Ones are probably going to like there's a couple podcasts I can think of. And then a couple shows that would get me like shows that I've seen a million times, but that I know like are good or, you know, to me at least. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's probably where I would go. I don't know that I think about that a lot.
Yeah. So this was not my reason for bringing this up because now I'm like going to take us on a different route. But when I originally brought this up, I was leaning towards like listening to high energy music.
Mm-hmm. I can
dog
think of some music
cuddles,
too.
You know, like, I know this is bad, but like sometimes it's a quick nap if I have the opportunity to do so, like depending on what it's
for run, depending on the thing.
So, yeah. Yeah. On Instagram, I saw this post And it was really interesting. And I'm trying to figure out if this is true. So it says how to, the post says how to instantly feel better. And it has a list. So if you're overthinking, it says to write. If you're feeling anxious, it says to meditate. If you're tired, it recommends a nap. If you're sad, it says you should exercise. If you're stressed, it says you should go for a walk. If you're angry, it says you should listen to music. If you're lazy, it says you should reduce your screen time. And if you're feeling burnt out, you should read. And I think
those all make sense to me.
Yeah.
Those all make sense to me. Yeah.
So I don't know where to put this, where like I would refer to it, except, and I don't like this solution, but like, I kind of feel like it should be my phone screensaver or something. Like it has to be easily accessible.
It could be, or could you print it out in a small form somewhere where you spend a lot of time, like in your office area or something like that, of just like a little reminder of something. So
yeah, because I think sometimes when I'm leaning on like, oh, what do? I listen to music or I, you know, hang out with the dogs or I go for a walk. I think choosing those strategically actually might serve us really well.
Yeah. The one that caught me there that I like wasn't thinking properly of was like, if you're angry, listen to music.
Yeah.
And so that for me, I'm like, yeah. Like, and you listen to angry music. Cause I've actually read a lot of studies where they've actually done a lot of study. Cause a lot of people, you know, so often people have said like angry music and music that's a little heavier or whatever, like is to blame for things, but it's actually been proven time and time again that people that actually listen to that angry music are actually less angry. It's actually a great use of that because it allows them to get the frustration out and screaming with it and headbanging and going at it or whatever versus what we might have chose to do in real life versus listening to something sad and soft or even like whatever. Like I'm thinking like, what would I'm like, oh, I know where I would turn to if I need some to let out the steam a little bit.
But I'm thinking like, if I'm feeling down in the dumps, if I'm feeling sad, listening to music actually doesn't get me out of it. And I don't know that I'm always aware enough to then not do it versus sad here is exercise. Yeah, actually, I can totally empathize with that.
It releases endorphins.
Yeah, when I'm feeling down, when I take the dogs for a walk, like I do feel great afterwards, but I never attributed it to how I was feeling to what I did. I always just thought like, oh, a walk is always going to be the right choice. When actually,
well, I think walk can be, but I would argue like if you're like too, I can't remember how they said, but if like you're overthinking things, going for a walk might be a bad idea.
I agree. That's exactly.
When you go for a walk, you got nothing but time to think.
Yep.
Which I think writing absolutely makes sense because you start to just spill your thoughts out on something, writing, typing, something of that nature, like getting it going.
All right. So going through this list again, in case you need it, and then we're transitioning into our team talk conversation.
Yes.
Really quick things to consider. If you're feeling like you're overthinking, turn to writing. If you're feeling anxious, turn to meditation. If you're tired, set yourself up to try and take a nap. If you're sad, find a way to get your body moving in an exercise. If you're stressed, go for a walk. If you're angry, listen to music. If you're feeling lazy, reduce your screen time. And if you're feeling burnt out, try and read. Really great recommendations here. Let's get into our team talk. Teach Better Today morning show, where we are live every single morning at 7 a.m. Eastern to kick off your morning. We're headed into our team talk. And Jeff, I won't lie, this is a listener question I'm very appreciative of because this is why we do listener questions. We want to hear from you. We want to answer questions that are going to help you as an educator or help you get to know the team a little bit better. We want to make sure that this is an open dialogue. And we also really, really value honesty and transparency. So we always love when you guys share your thoughts. But Jeff, this was a listener question I'm a little intimidated by. And I don't know where we're going to take this, but I got it for you here.
What's the question?
Are you nervous?
No, I'm ready. Let's do it. I think I'm all right.
I want you to know that we got this one submitted and I may have been avoiding it, but because it was you and me on the show, I was like, we can tackle this one.
You did mention in one of the other shows that you were avoiding one. So this is that one, huh?
This is the one I've been avoiding. And don't get me wrong. Like, I love the tough questions. So please keep sending them. I feel like this hits home maybe a little close, but I think that's okay. I'm not trying to like talk us out of it.
Let's hear it. I'm ready.
Do you want to do a different one?
No, do this one. What are you doing?
Listener question. Can you share a story or two of memorable either teaching or business moments that have had a lasting impact on your approach moving forward?
Yes. I can think of a whole bunch of obviously business moments for me. You go. Yeah. I think I'm about to sneeze, so I'm going to let you talk really quick.
Perfect. For those of you in the chat, I'm going to read it again. I would like to hear your teaching ones. I think Jeff and I are going to lean more towards the business, towards the team, if that's okay with all of you. But
You're going to go to business, not to the teaching. Okay.
I don't know. I'm really interested. I'm very weary of this one. But
shotgun, you have to go first.
No, I would like to hear people in the comments.
Shotgun.
Here's the question. Can you share a story or two of memorable either teaching or business moments that have had a lasting impact on your approach moving forward? I won't lie to you. If I go with teaching, it's a cop-out because I have had more recent business moments that apply to this than teaching moments. But I think teaching moments shaped me into the business leader I am today. So I don't think it's a lose-lose.
No.
This hits a little close to home, so I don't know where to take this. That's why I wanted you to go first.
Well, you're going first because I called shotguns on you. So like that's just how the world works.
I can't. I don't have a good answer. I don't know where to go with this.
Okay, fine. I'm trying to think of which one I want to pull from.
If I copped out and went into a teaching moment, I once had. This was relatively recently, a parent who was very frustrated. I don't even know what she was frustrated about, to be honest. That was relatively irrelevant to the conversation. She was very, very frustrated with me. And I remember in that moment, like not feeling like I had anything else to do to help her. Again, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember being like, I've done everything I can, whatever that internal struggle is as a teacher. And she came into the office in the morning and the school office, and I was down there ignorantly making copies, and she cornered me and just yelled for like 10 minutes, scolded me, an adult woman scolding me in the middle of the teacher's lounge. And it was really interesting because it really hurt me. Like I was very sad after the conversation because it wasn't feeling good having somebody yell at me, obviously.
Sure.
But I actually remember it being really shaping for me as an educator because, I don't know how to phrase this, but I knew that I had done everything I could. And I continued to lean on the fact that because of how I structured my classroom, because of how I carry my teaching philosophy, because of how connected I am as an educator, because I lean on mentors and double check and triple check the decisions, I felt very secure with the decision that I had made. And it was really shaping for me to continue to lean on, if I continue to be connected, if I continue to be progressive, if I continue to do my due diligence, and if I continue to really align everything I do, right? At the time I was using the grid method. So I was using the backwards design for lesson planning. I was doing personalized learning. I was talking with students more than I ever had. I was tracking student success. It really gave me the confidence to see that this angry parent was just exuding emotion, but that I professionally had made the right decisions. And I think I leaned on like, I have to stick with that, because had I not had that confidence and alignment, I think she would have really torn me down as a leader. You know, does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And that's a tough experience, but the fact that you're able to get through it and not let it completely tear you down or completely change and question everything that's huge.
Yeah. And I know that early on in my career, I didn't have that alignment. So there was times where I received criticism from a parent and had nothing to stand on. I felt like I didn't have something to lean against to say, no, I know this is the right way to do it. At some point it was like, yeah, I'm probably a really dumb teacher. I don't know why I did that. Like, you know, it's like,
but after a situation like this, your confidence was probably much higher going like, no, like I got through that on my confidence because I believe in what I'm doing so much that like the little ones that are going to come after this are nothing. They're easy. I know exactly what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
So I want to challenge it. Like for me, that takeaway was the alignment necessity. And if you're an educator who can't rationalize some of the decisions you're making, you probably don't need to make different decisions, but can we fill in the gap so you can connect them and feel confident in the decision, not just because of your gut, but because you know that's what's best and here's the research and people to back you up. I wonder if that's my little takeaway.
That's a good takeaway.
That would be my teaching.
That's a good one. I think I'm going to pull from early on, and this is, I'm pretty sure Chad would share this probably story with the same type of lessons, and it's kind of a two-part, but like early on, I think this was actually before Ray.
Ooh,
it might have been like maybe as we would get in there. We might, I don't know. It was very early on. We had a great meeting with a pretty good sized district that had a lot of money. And so in our mind, we were like, this is an opportunity for us. Meeting with the curriculum director, she absolutely loved the grid method. She, you know, thought it was great. We're in this meeting and she's talking about how great the grid method would be for like curriculum compacting, which it's a tool that you can use for that. And we did some of that early on and stuff. And we were like, of course, but we kept painting the picture of like the big transformation. She kept coming back to that, but we kept painting the big picture. And when we left, it was on great terms. She's excited. Send me over a proposal and then well, we sent over this massive, like, 5-year plan transformational proposal. And we didn't hear back anything from her for, like, well over a month. And we're like, it was, like, not a whole lot going on. So we're like, because this is, like, a deal that would have, like, changed the business, changed their lives and stuff. Finally get a call back, and it was very much like a, hey, yeah, sorry I haven't got back to you. Like, no. Now, two things is, one, we learned, big takeaway there is to go for the closest target of what the person actually needs and listen to them. And I think that can go into all walks of life. Yeah. Whether you're trying to find what's the breakthrough for the student, sometimes we're shooting too far and we need to find what's the closest win we can get and do that. But also listening and understanding what they're actually talking about, not just what you think they need, but what they're actually need. So I think that's an important piece, right? The other piece is I talk about riding a roller coaster a lot, especially when we talk with our entrepreneurs and stuff like that. Chad and I were on our way driving down to the University of Cincinnati. It was part of a deal we had done where we were working with educators at five different universities in the state of Ohio across 10 different workshops. So like we worked with the University of Akron, John Carroll University up in Cleveland, Bowling Green, Toledo, and University of Cincinnati. We're on our way down to Cincinnati and it's like a 4-hour drive. And we spent basically 3.5 of the 4 hours just beating ourselves up, like to the point where like we were just miserable about losing that and how dumb we were and all the mistakes we made and all this stuff. And we were just like miserable. And I can't remember where we were at. I think we were on 71 coming down. We were coming around Dayton area to get down there. And I could picture the freeway interchange and stuff. But I'm finally like, whoa, like, what are we doing? Like, we're literally on the way to work with one of the bigger, or at least most well-known universities in Ohio as part of this deal working with like hundreds of teachers from all over that are going to go impact kids all over the state of Ohio and potentially beyond if they move otherwise. And we're like crapping all over ourselves right now. And I'm like, I'm the one who always talks about don't do this. And we're doing that. And it was a huge lesson for us to go, hey, we need to focus on the wins we have, celebrate the good we do, because you're going to have wins, you're going to have losses. And if you let yourself kind of go up and down too high or too low, it's a miserable ride. So I think we learned that, not that we do it great all the time, but to kind of stay steadier and to really celebrate the things that are going well versus focusing on the things that are not going so well or the mistakes we made in the past. And that, I think that was a big lesson for us. Again, not that we do it great all the time, but that was a big one for us. Two big ones. Mm-hmm. There you go. Does that work?
That works.
Okay. That was good. I could think of a lot, but that's the one I wanted to go with, because I think there was two lessons in there. But
yeah, I like that. Yeah. I think as I reflect on my experience from the business end, there's probably been three major things since I've become a business owner that have shaped or reinforced certain things in the business realm. And I find that it really comes down to what you already shared, like being aligned with the people that you're working with and not taking the losses personally, but taking them as an opportunity to learn. I like that. We've definitely not done everything right, but I think that the more and more we come across hurdles, which is just like the fact of life, the more we reinforce the things that we really value. And I don't know that there's like a perfect way to do it, but I think that's true. So yeah.
Interesting.
See why I was scared of this one though? It's kind of,
it's a good one though. I think it's, yeah. I think the nice part of this question is like most of these types of stories, whether you pull them from teaching or from business or really from life, like I think the lessons work in all of them.
Yeah.
Like whether you're pulling from a life experience, like a general life experience, in the classroom or in the school district or in business or whatever, typically the lessons that we're pulling out of those like defining moments actually are lessons that can be applied to all the other aspects of our life, depending on how many aspects you have and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's, I think, really great to talk about those things, because there might be a lot of people listening right now who have zero desire ever to have anything to do with business and stuff, but hopefully something I said just went to their mindset of whatever they do, and what you pulled out of your teaching absolutely can apply to business. And so I think it's important to share this type of stuff.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. Well, thank you for submitting the listener question. For those of you who are interested in submitting either more listener questions or just your first, feel free to direct message anybody on the team, including myself. Just let me know. We'll add it to the list and try and get to as many of those questions as humanly possible. We have so much more that we want to provide you in the show. And so your recommendations are always helpful to help steer where the Teach Better team takes the Today Morning Show. We hope you all have a rest. We all have, I don't know, like the best morning ever, a beautiful rest of your day. And Jeff, I think we're going to head into the rest of our day as well.
Love it. Appreciate y'all.
Bye, guys. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.